I invite you to turn in your Bibles to Paul's letter to the Colossians. And we'll be reading chapter 3, verses 12 through 17. Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with one another and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly, as you teach and admonish one another in all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs of the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. May God bless the reading and the hearing of the word today. Well, it's sad. Pretty soon we're going to be packing up all the tinsel and the ribbons and the wreaths and the bows and the little trinkets, the nativity sets and all the rest. And we're going to have to put away our favorite songs too, probably. There's something about this season, I think, that leads us to sing with a little more vigor because the songs are just so singable, for lack of a better word. And I wonder in this season, if you have a favorite. And sometimes on this Sunday, I recall over time with Yates, sometimes we just have a hymn sing, a carol sing, and people would raise their hands and ask for their favorite carol. What's yours? Maybe it's Silent Night. You just need that calm, peaceful sort of assurance. Maybe it's the triumph of something like Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Maybe it's something nostalgic, something you may or may not find in your hymnal, something like White Christmas or Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. It's fine. I listen. We don't judge. But one of the ones that doesn't get quite as much attention, maybe as it should, is Do You Hear What I Hear? It's a more recent carol. It's something that's come around in many of your lifetimes. It was penned in 1962 in response to the Cuban Missile Crisis. And as peace in the world teetered on the edge of disaster, that call to attend more fully, to listen for the voice of peace and the one who brings it, is more than a Christmas song. It's a plea. It's a plea to God. It's a plea for the world. It's a plea to the world as it looked over the precipice and could see only catastrophe. And Bing Crosby made it iconic for us. And however you recall it, I hope songs like that also continue to resonate, even if you don't get to sing them quite as often. More broadly, as you have made your way across Advent and now into the Christmas season, we're here in the days of Christmas. What do you hear? When you still your noisy brain and your busy heart long enough, what do you hear? I know, and I am certain not everyone hears joy. I've talked to some of you, and what you've told me is you hear nothing. It's silent. And in your grief, you'd like to hear something, anything. Others have been just so overwhelmed by the cries of the brokenhearted around them. Their heart breaks with those whose hearts are breaking. Some hear that whisper of despair. I've been through this once, I'm going through it again and again. And you just want to capitulate to the way things are, that resignation that defines a lot of hopelessness for us. We hear a lot of things. Christmas songs, a lot like Christmas itself. Really, when they're good ones, they don't deny any of those struggles in our lives. Instead, they invite us when we sing to bring every single note, whether it's a note of sorrow or a note of longing or a note of hope, bring it all to God and sing it. That's how Paul said it to the Colossians. We are called to sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And we sing those songs with one another and to one another as well, so that no one really ignores the reality, but instead we enter into a space like this believing that God can transform it. And I was reminded again this week just how broken the world is. Some of you may have become aware that a child was shot and killed 17 years old. There was an altercation in the neighborhood, and this was a child who was an early adopter of our neighborhood outreach, Tay. And Tay will never see his 18th birthday for no good reason other than a 16-year-old just didn't want to let him get over on him. The world is broken. And there's a child who will now probably face a life sentence, and another child who will never breathe in this world again. It's hard. Do you hear what I hear? Can you hear the world crying out? The unique pains that call for justice, that call for healing, that call for something more? And when we go through a joy to the world time, like Christmas, sometimes it just amplifies that loss. For some, it's looking at that empty chair at the table. Or it's remembering the vibrant conversations and the laughter that your partner can no longer offer you. It's not a song of light. It's not a song of laughter. It's about longing and waiting for God to show up. And in the midst of that sorrow, that longing that we sing about here trusts that God will show up. That's why we begin this season singing, O come, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. And God will break through that darkness. So as we sing those songs of lament, and they are very real, we declare that what we feel in our pain is very real, but it is not ultimate. It does not name the fullness of it. We remind each other when we sing those songs together that even when life feels unbearable, God hears us and God is near. Of course, we sing songs of gratitude as well in this time. Maybe you can hear those songs somewhere in your life. It's the song that sings in one way or another, God has been good to me. God has been good to us. God is faithful. The Psalms are full of those refrains. Give thanks to the Lord, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever. And we sing, it came upon the midnight clear, for lo, the days are hastening on. By prophet bards foretold, when with the ever-circling year, years comes round the age of gold. The age of gold. Maybe that's where you are. Not physical gold, unless you're one of those like Scrooge McDuck and you just like to go to sleep on a big pile of coins. But the wealth and the delight and the giftedness of our lives that have come in large and small ways, that's a part of this season too. When we talk about Jesus coming as being a gift, what Paul called God's indescribable gift, then it is an opportunity for gratitude, to say thank you. And when we sing our songs, don't neglect to notice, no matter how small, no matter how easily overlooked, those opportunities for gratitude are in your life. I could go on and on about all of the science and all the research that has pointed to the power of gratitude to transform a person's life and outlook and mental health and capability and all the rest. Something as simple as writing a thank you note every day. Whether or not you send it, it's always great. But whether or not you send it is almost secondary as you tune and calibrate your senses to the opportunities for gratitude rather than the deficits that need to be fixed, remedied, filled, or adjusted. Beginning with gratitude is the strongest way to start a day. And that's part of this season. When we sing songs of gratitude in our hearts before God and with one another, to one another, it reminds us of God's steadfast love that endures forever, no matter what. There are songs that we can hear and that we sing that are absolutely about praise. They proclaim the glory of God. And praise is that song that wells up and we almost can't contain it because we're overwhelmed by the experience of what God is doing or God's presence in our lives. It's not a given, but when it comes, we know it. And it lifts our eyes and it lifts our voices beyond whatever our circumstances are. And we can perceive the God who redeems and the God who restores. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's how the Psalms say it. Psalm 103, all that is within me, bless God's holy name. It's about proclaiming the goodness, the greatness of God. Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. It's not just a happy song, though it is a happy song. It's a declaration of who God is. It's a proclamation of what God has done. And when we sing our songs of praise to God and with one another to each other, we're proclaiming again that the God who reigns over all creation is the God who revealed God's own self in a little manger, in a little tiny body that needed tending, feeding, protecting, and watering. And in that vulnerability, God became one of us. So as we sing, of course, we're singing to God and we're singing about God. And as the apostle reminds us, we are reminding each other as the church who God is. We sing our songs in worship so that those who are feeling weighed down by their life, the song of this community can help carry you. When someone feels personally weak and their faith is nearly non-existent, someone else's song can be a source of strength and support. The songs that we sing, whether we feel like we can carry a tune or not, are a testimony. And they remind us and they enable us to remind each other about who God is. Those songs proclaim that Jesus saves. Jesus saves us from despair and lifts us out of the pit, giving us hope that there is a light that shines in our darkness. Jesus saves us from our isolation and draws us into a community and a relationship here where we are known, where we are loved, and in a relationship with God where that knowing and loving is all-encompassing. Jesus saves us from fear and replaces it with a peace of knowing that we are held by God. Jesus saves us from stagnation and calls us to be transformed and renewed and alive in Him. And so we sing every day about this salvation that is a daily occurrence, more and more growing into that one who God has made us to be all along. And I won't deny that that is a difficult journey. It's a big pill to swallow. You can travel back in time with me to 1864, and there on Christmas Day at a New England desk, Henry Wadsworth Longfellow sat with a pen that would not write. He tried for a long time. He had tried the last Christmas, and his journal had been left completely empty. the holiday season for Longfellow, as gifted a wordsmith as he was, had been so crushing and soul depleting. He struggled to put pen to paper. His wife had died tragically in a fire a couple of years before. She was wearing one of those wispy Victorian dresses, and as she melted wax to seal letters, the flame from the candle lit the fabric, and she burned up. And Longfellow, awakened from his nap, rushed to try and extinguish her, and the scars on his hands largely healed, but the beard that he wore the rest of his life was worn in part to cover the scars that would always remain from that trauma. And for years after that experience, his journal at Christmas would tell the story. In 1862, he wrote, "A Merry Christmas, say the children, but that is no more for me." The next year, in 1863, his journal was left empty on Christmas Day. And if the personal pain of his grief were not enough, the nation was, of course, falling apart, bleeding. The Civil War had torn the nation asunder. And Longfellow's home was not untouched by this. His oldest son, Charles, Charlie, had been in service with the Union Army. And he was wounded severely with life-threatening injuries. The bullet had narrowly missed his spine. And Longfellow traveled to help take care of his son. And he carried the weight of his own grief around his wife Fanny's death and the heartbreak of a nation in turmoil. By 1864, that Christmas morning, he could hear the bells ringing, as they always did. But for some reason, for Longfellow, that familiar sound was dissonant, for lack of a better word. It just did not line up with his lived reality. It could not cover up all that had been lost. With his pen in his hand, he began to pour out all of the despair into a poem that's now entitled Christmas Bells. And it captured the fullness of it. Some of the stuff that's not in our hymnal, I encourage you to read the entire poem through. Some of the forgotten verses or the verses that are left out are powerful. "Then from each black accursed mouth the cannon thundered in the south, and with the sound the carols drowned of peace on earth, goodwill to men." It was as if an earthquake rent the hearthstones of a continent and made forlorn the households born of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Each black, accursed mouth of cannons drowning out the soft and humble carols of peace. The hearthstone of a continent, the hearthstone of his own family, destroyed and shattered, never to be the same. And I don't know what happened. But we know, as the poem draws to its conclusion, I imagine after a very long pause and probably a longer prayer, Longfellow's pen moved again. And this time it traced words across the page that read, "Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail. With peace on earth, goodwill to men." It's not a man who's forgotten his pain. These are the hard-earned words of someone who has lived through it, and someone who has felt and experienced the ache of loss and wrestled with their doubt and despair and still dared to believe and trust and lean into hope. That transformation is not an erasure or a dismissal of a grief, but instead the restoration of faith. Salvation for him in that moment looked like being saved from the silence of the despair and the resignation and capitulation to death and the isolation of his hopelessness. The bells called him to hear again the promise of God's presence and God's peace. We sing, "I heard the bells" on Christmas Day, and we join Longfellow in that kind of defiant hope and proclaim that God is not dead, nor doth God sleep. If we dare to believe that ultimately what is wrong falls away and what is right prevails with peace on earth, goodwill to all, we are singing a profound and honest song of Christmas. And so salvation, the salvation that we celebrate coming in Christ, is just that. God is not dead. God does not sleep. We are not left to our despair. Death does not name our end. We are given God in one another, in a community, in a friendship that is inseparable and unshakable because of the love that is shown in Jesus Christ. We are saved from stagnation because we are called to transformation, and we're saved from fear because Jesus has given us a peace that passes even our understanding. We in Christ are restored, and God is working to make all things new. And so it begins as we lean and trust in that and begin to live our lives according to that proclamation. And sometimes we need to be reminded of it. We need to sing those songs to one another, to ourselves. And as we step now into the new year, as Todd very eloquently reminded us, some of you may have a thing or two that's on your mind. Certainly true. Carry what it is that matters from Christmas into that year. You might even want to carry a little bell, just a little tiny one, or else you might get kicked out of a lot of public spaces. But anytime you feel yourself moving into that place where it is no longer imaginable that the world could ever change from the no good place that you experience it to be. Remember, as another carol says, Christ was born for this. Christ was born for this. And ring the little bell. Ring it. Maybe you take your keys and just shake them. And be reminded again that Jesus saves from despair, from fear, from loneliness. And Jesus restores with hope and love and community, that Jesus transforms and calls us to live a whole new life now and forever. And those bells, they can call to mind that the wrong will fail and the right prevail with peace on earth, goodwill to all. All means y'all. And so let your lives echo that song today, every day, on into 2025, and proclaim with every word, proclaim with every action, the salvation that comes at Christmas through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Won't you stand as you're able, and let's sing a song, a hymn, a spiritual song that calls the most important parts of this season to mind.